give you our hearts today. We give you all that we are. All that we have is yours, oh Lord. We ask, Lord, for the remaining part of this service that you would speak into our lives. We want to hear your voice, oh Lord. And I believe, Lord God, you are wanting to speak to your people. So God, would you open up our hearts and give us ears to hear, Lord, give us hearts to receive your word in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And let God's people say, amen, amen, amen. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning, amen. It's good to be here amongst all the brothers and sisters in Christ who are passionate about the Lord. How many guys love Jesus? We got some Jesus lovers in the place, amen. You guys love his presence. It's his presence that you'll find change. It's his presence that you'll find everything that you need. It's in his presence, amen. So today we want to conclude our series in the book of Ruth. And so if you would open up your Bibles, turn to Ruth chapter 4, and we're going to just kind of wrap this thing up. I mean, you guys enjoyed the series so far? All right. And so the first thing we talked about was coming out of the ruins, and we looked at Naomi's life and how she lost her husband and her two sons, and just really in a rough place. Anybody ever been in a bad place before? Just seems like everything's just falling apart, right? And so she hears word that the Lord visited Israel once again, and she makes her way back to the land of Canaan, back to the promised land. And along with her, she takes her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who clung to Naomi. And we talked about who you cling to and who are you clinging to? What relationships do you have in your life that you're clinging to? What unhealthy things or unhealthy habits that you're clinging on to? And so all these things matter. And so Ruth says, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. Basically, she says, I'm holding on. I want to be counted in the number, if you will, of the saints marching in. All right. And so she marches in to Bethlehem. And then we talked about, like, once we find ourselves amongst God's people, once we are in alignment with God's word, then his favor comes upon us, right? And undeserved, unmerited favor, where things happen good things happen to you, and you have no real reason for it to happen, only because the favor of God upon your life. And then last week we talked about our need for a kinsman redeemer. And when we find ourselves at the threshing floor, we need a kinsman redeemer. And so today's going to sound a little bit like last week. Last week, we looked at our need for a kinsman redeemer. Today, the title of this one is What It Means to Be Redeemed. So similar, but a little bit different. All right, so we're going to look into it in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz spoken came by. So just to kind of remember what happened in the story, Ruth asks Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. She goes, she lays at his feet, and he wakes up, he's startled, and he says, you know what, I am going to redeem you. And so now we see the actual fulfillment of this promise. He not only says empty words, but he says, I'm going to come through with the promise I made to you. And so he says, in verse 2, he says, verse 1, so Boaz said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. And then he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. So what happens back in the day is that the Lord had established a law amongst the Israelites that the land would retain, or that the Israelites would retain possession of the land, and regardless, because God forbid that any foreigner or worshiper of other gods would inhabit the land. And so the Lord establishes this law in Leviticus 25:25 says, if your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. And so the redeemer would come and buy this piece of land so that it would stay in Israel. It was part of the promise. It was part of God's promise. Remember whenever God promised Abraham, he said, look, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. That was part of the promise. Then he says, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to bring you to this land that's flowing with milk and honey. It was part of the promise. And so whenever God makes a promise, you can bank on it that it's going to happen and that he's going to protect that promise, right? He's going to ensure that his word comes about. And so part of the promise was inheriting this land. But if in this case, in Ruth's case, her husband dies, he has no sons, he has no one to lead the land to. And so Boaz says, I will buy back the property. I will buy back this piece of land. Now, in acquiring the property, he would also gain Ruth. He would gain Ruth. Now, Boaz obviously seen that Ruth was worth acquiring. So it was said of her that she is a virtuous woman, that she was a worthy woman. And we know what the Bible says about a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:10-11, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. So if you have a virtuous woman as a wife, you're blessed. Amen. And so Boaz knew this. Boaz knew this truth to life. If I obtain this property, I also gain her. It's a win-win for him, right? But first, what must happen is that the closest redeemer, the relative that was closest to Elimelech, he must first be given the opportunity to buy back the property. And so we find ourselves in the next part of the story. He says, if you will redeem it, and this is Boaz talking to this redeemer, and he says, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one beside you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. So there's another part of the law. A lot of times we look at the law as something negative, but really it was really to preserve God's people and really to preserve a lot of the things that he's spoken in place. In Deuteronomy 25:5-6, it says, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of husband's brother to her. And the firstborn son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. Now, this is a foreign concept to us, right? So in this particular case, what would happen? The Lord says, not only will the land remain Israel's, but if a woman dies and she does not have a son, or if a man dies and he does not have a son to pass it on, then the brother is to marry that wife and have a son with her. And that son would become his, the deceased brother. And so this is such a sacrificial type of love to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to buy back the property, as Boaz says, I'm going to buy back the property, but I'm going to also marry Ruth to perpetuate the name of my dead relative. In other words, the son that we have together is not going to be my own. It's going to be under his name. It's going to carry on his name. And so what a sacrificial type of love that Boaz walks into. And we see in verse 6, he says, then the Redeemer says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So the closest redeemer, the redeemer who had the opportunity to redeem the property and obtain Ruth as a wife, says, I cannot do it. Now, some scholars think that perhaps he had a wife already, and in bringing in another woman into the household would just cause chaos and just cause confusion and just cause all kind of problems, right? And so other scholars think, you know what? I don't want the stigma of taking in a poor Moabite woman. For if we look at it, the word of the Lord, the law, they even forbid Moab or any descendants of Moab to be a part of Israel, if you look at some of the older laws. So it could have been a stigma as well. To take in Ruth, this Moabite woman. And so the closest redeemer says, I cannot do it. Now, just to kind of give you a parallel of what's taking place in this whole story is a redemption, a story about redemption, our redemption. And just as this redeemer, the closest redeemer, could not buy back, could not redeem Ruth, the law of Moses could not redeem us. The law of Moses could not redeem us. It was there. It showed us God's word. It showed us what he thinks about certain things. But it was unable to redeem us. It fell short. Every year they would sacrifice and they would make offerings unto the Lord. And every year they felt the sin. They felt the weight of their sin, the guilt and the shame. And the sacrifices failed to remove that guilt. Failed to remove that guilt. They failed to redeem them. But today we're talking about a better redeemer, amen. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And so for whatever reason, this closest relative did not redeem Ruth. Boaz says, you know what? She's worth it. She is worth it. I'm going after her. The property's worth it. I'm going after it. I will redeem it. Amen. So look at verse 7. It says, now was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. This is, and so I was going to do this. Maybe I'll do this, but it's going to be hard to put this back on. All right. Nobody wants this, I'll tell you. It's smelly. But, you know, what they would do is they would say, hey, look, I'm giving you my shoe. I'm giving you the right. You now have all rights of this property. It now belongs to you. In other words, I have no permission to tread over that property. I have no permission to be on that property. All rights are now yours. I'm handing over my rights. I'm relinquishing total control over this thing. Let's just leave it off right now. Amen. And so in verse 9, it says, then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. So not only does he say, look, I'm going to buy back the property, but Ruth is going to be my wife. He makes a public declaration. Ruth is going to be my wife. Now, think about Boaz. Boaz is a rich man. He's an affluent man. He's well known in his community. He's a leader in the community. And on the other hand, Ruth has nothing to offer. She's a poor Moabite woman. And Boaz says, I am going to change her identity. She is no longer a poor widow, but now I am bringing her into my family. I am making her a part of my estate. Everything that I have, I now give to her. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so it is in the kingdom of God. So it is whenever we come to Christ Jesus. We have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer. We are like Ruth. We're this poor widow woman with nothing to offer our Lord and Savior. We have nothing to buy ourselves back. But he says, I am going to buy you back. I am going to pay the price so that you can be mine. I'm going to give you a new identity which is found in Christ Jesus. I'm going to change your old ways. Everything that used to define who you are no longer defines who you are. You are a new person in Christ Jesus. I'm buying you back. Amen. Takes us in when we have nothing to offer. He's a king. He's our leader. He's Jesus. In verse 9 it says, then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and belonged to Chilion and Mahlon and also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. Where else have we seen this type of expression where your name will not be cut off? Where your name will not be cut off. In the book of Revelations, let's just go there. In the book of Revelations, it says, the one who conquers will be blotted. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. Whenever Christ Jesus takes us in, when we have nothing to offer, he not only changes our identity and all that we are, he says, look, I'm going to give you heaven. For your inheritance, you will gain heaven. I'm going to clothe you in white, in a white garment, which means that there is no spot, there is no blemish, that he forgives all is forgiven. There is no more sin that he's going to hold against you. He forgives it all. He gives us a new name, and he writes our name in the Lamb's book of life, so that whenever we stand before the judgment seat of God, he sees the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see your failure. He doesn't see your disappointments. He sees the blood. He says, I will not blot out your name. Your name is important. Your name is important. And the Lord said he will not blot out your name from the Lamb's book of life. Verse 11 says, then all the people who were at the gate and the elders, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah. In other words, have lots of babies, multiply, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. This is what he's telling them. So all the elders are in agreement with what Boaz is suggesting, that he has taken in this young Moabite woman and made her a part of his family. They all are in agreement, and they all give their blessing. They said, may you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. And so he's blessed and he's honored in his community because he decided to obey the Lord and be this redeemer. And so just I want to read real quick just the ending of this story, just that way we know how it all finishes out. And then we're going to get back into some points. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons. You know, what the enemy meant for evil, that the Lord turns around for good. And what may have been stolen from you, the Lord gives back even seven times more, even 100 times more. Amen. It says that Ruth was more to her than seven sons because of her loyalty, because of her commitment, she clung to Naomi. How the Lord is a restorer. He restores every aspect of our life. Everything that was stolen from the enemy, we just declare that it is restored today in the name of Jesus. And he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is more than seven sons who has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name and said, a son has been born to Naomi. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, we see that this closest redeemer, you see what he missed out on. He missed being named in the genealogy of Christ Jesus our Lord. Because through David's line, we see that the Messiah would come. And so this God, though we know it was ultimately God's provision, it was ultimately God's plan and God's purpose. But you see what he missed out on. And here's the thing. So what does it mean to be redeemed? Looking at the story of Ruth, what does it mean? And the first thing we must say is that we are bought with a price. We are bought with a price. Just as Boaz said, you know what? I am willing to pay the price for this property. I am willing to pay the price to obtain Ruth. I am willing to pay this price. We were bought with a price. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19 says, knowing that you were ransomed. You know what it means to be ransomed? That you were bought back. That you were under the slave of someone else. Someone else's control. But then you were bought back. You were ransomed. Amen. That someone paid the ransom price for you. From the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You were bought back with a price, and it wasn't through with silver or gold, but you were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you with his own blood. If that isn't love, if that isn't showing how much he loves you, I don't know what is. Get this, being that we are bought back and that we belong to a new master, just as the closest redeemer relinquished his rights to the new owner, the new master, we are no longer slaves to our old master, the flesh, sin, and the devil. He has relinquished his rights. He has no place here. He cannot tread here in God's place, in the temple of God. We have been bought back. There, we put up the no trespassing sign. Go away, devil. You do not belong here. This is God's property. How many guys are God's property in this place? You belong to him. You've been bought back with a price. Amen. The devil cannot tread there anymore. He relinquished his rights whenever Christ bought us back. Amen. Let that speak to you this morning. What does it mean to be redeemed? We are bought with a price. We are valued. Maybe you were never told this in your life. Maybe you were never told that you are valuable. That the Lord values. You don't, if you think about Jesus and what he did on the cross, you don't die for someone who you don't see any value in. You don't lay it all down on the line if you don't say, this is worth it. I obtain them. They become my bride. They become my church. I want them. But because it says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy of gaining us, that he endured the cross. He looked at the cross and says, I know what I have to go through, but I gain them. They are valuable to me. You are valued. You are highly valued. Boaz looks at Ruth and says, I value her. I value her. The Lord will look at you and say, I value you. I value you. I was willing to die for you. I was willing to give it all to obtain you. It's the love of our Savior. It's being redeemed. Amen. Amen. The next thing that we see in this story of Ruth, just as Boaz declares publicly that Ruth is his wife, one day Christ is going to return for his bride. And it will be known to everyone. It will be known to everyone living on the earth that we are his. That he has bought us back with a high price. He has put value upon us. But yet he is willing to spend eternity with us. In that day, whenever he comes back, we will be raptured in the sky. And we will be forever with our Lord. Amen. Amen. So that brings us to our last point. That we are heirs to the promise. We are heirs to the promise. Whenever you leave this life, this earth, you will inherit the kingdom of God. You will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Heaven will be your home. Ruth goes from being a poor widow living in Moab to now she is a princess, basically, living with Boaz. And that is the same picture that we want to have in our lives today. That we had nothing to offer, but yet he gives us everything. He gives us everything. He has made a way where we can spend eternity with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. And he also gives us this assurance that we don't have to wait until that day to find out whether or not we make it. You know, you don't have to wait until the day you die and say, oh, well, I guess I didn't make it. Whoops, I didn't make it. No, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. He gives us that assurance in our lives where we can know that heaven's going to be our home, that we can know that he is ours and that we are his. We belong to him. We have been bought with a price. We are highly valued. We are heirs to the promise. Amen. That's what it means to be redeemed. Are there any redeemed folks this morning? Is there anybody who's been redeemed by the Lord? Would you stand to your feet and lift up your hands and just thank him for your redemption? Thank him for redeeming you, for buying you back. Come on, you no longer are a slave to sin. You no longer have a master who is evil, who wants evil intentions, but you have a master who loves you. You have a master who gave himself for you. You have a master who's a healer, who's your comforter, your strength, your deliverer. You have a good master. You've been redeemed. You've been bought back, church. Give him praise in this place. Lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Thank him. Lord, we thank you for our redemption, Lord. We thank you that we are redeemed, that we have been bought back. We give you all the praise in this place, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that heaven's going to be our home. God, we look around and we see this earth and we see all the wickedness and we see all the sinfulness. And Lord, we look for a day when one day we will walk on streets of gold. One day we will behold the Master face to face, eye to eye, and welcome in his embrace. Hallelujah. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. He values you more than you can ever know. He values you. He gave his life for you. When this world does not value you, when this world would cast you down, would cast you out, he values you. He loves you with an unconditional love. Lord, we just thank you so much for what you have done in this place. Thank you so much for what you have done in our lives. Being our kinsman redeemer. We love you. We give you all the praise in this place, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps there's someone in this place, and we talked about having the assurance. Perhaps you don't have that assurance this morning. That you don't know if heaven is going to be your home. That you don't know if you are right with God. Because the Bible says in Revelations 20:15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is real. This is real. This is not some fairy tale. Whenever we leave this earth, it's one or two places. It's forever with the Lord. Or it's forever in the flames. Which will you pick today? Whom will you choose? Will you choose the Lord? Or will you choose the flames? Perhaps you need to make a fresh commitment this morning to the Lord. You need to give the Lord your heart. You need to surrender to him. You need to confess your sins to the Lord. We give you that opportunity to do so right now. So if that's you in this place, I want you to say a prayer, but it's not in the prayer that is saving. It is in faith in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And by faith, you have been saved. It's the goodness of God. It's nothing that you can do. It's nothing that you have to offer. It's a free gift. It's unmerited. It's God's grace towards you. There must be a confession. So will you just make it right before the Lord right now? The Bible says if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive you from all of your sins. He'll make you white as snow. He'll put that garment, that white garment over you right now. Just make it right with the Lord. say, maybe you don't know what to pray, I'll lead you in a prayer, but just kind of say your own. Dear Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would be the Lord of my life. Lord, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. Come into my heart today. Change me and make me a new person. Lord, make me, God, the man or the woman of God you've called me to be. Lord, buy me back today. I want to be part of the redeemed. In Jesus' mighty name, come into my heart and cleanse me, O God, of all wickedness. In Jesus' name, I receive your blood as payment for my sins. I receive your blood, your sacrifice, for what you've done for me. Lord, if you said that prayer, I just want you to know that all of heaven right now is rejoicing because one person comes to the Lord, because one person made it right with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now we just give you praise in this place. Magnify your name. Thank you for what you have done, O Lord. Thank you that we are the redeemed of the Lord. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory. Magnify you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And if you gave your life to the Lord this morning, we want to encourage you just to continue to show up. Turn to your neighbor and say, show up next Sunday. Show up next Sunday. We have a Bible for you with all kinds of information. So just go to the welcome desk. They have that for you if you gave your life to the Lord. The first time, we love you guys. Walk out as the redeemed of the Lord. Highly valued and highly favored in Jesus' name. And the saints of God said, amen, amen. We'll see you soon.